Oh, I got his ass now.
Do I have to be fast on the track?
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, then it's good.
My butt all got stretched a little bit. And
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where are you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog Millionaire! Let's make some noise. Tory Nighthawk! Whoa!
Show number 213, August 28th, 2023. We got world champion bronze medalist Elise Willoughby come on the show in about 30 minutes. It's going to be good to catch up with her. One of the goats, James. Definitely, there's a discussion to be had between her and Mariana for the goat, like we were talking about last show.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about goats a lot, I think, on the men's side last time. I think maybe we briefly touched it on the women's side. It has to be between those two for sure. And it's like the similar style argument to the Joris and Maris almost. Do you agree? Like it's a,
yes, 100% there is.
And if we're being realistic, I think both I think it's changed from what it was about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like the Joris one too. So I think Elise is probably the goat right now.
Elise is fucking unbelievable. All the stuff she's won.
100%. Truly.
You know, her and Mariano are the same age. They grew up racing each other at the Worlds and whatnot. And in the US, first time they raced each other at the World was in Paris in 2005 when they were 14.
That's wild to think about. It's so long to be racing at such a high level against each other.
And look at them both now, what they've both done in their careers.
That's crazy. Are there other people that have done that? Like race, I guess probably a few have, we just can't realize, but have raced from that young age and just gone all the way through to be as good as they have at the older age. I'm trying to think.
Pretty sure like Romain and Jeremy have, and then like, I mean, me, Connor, Corbin, Sylvain.
Yeah, that age. I mean, that's a good one. Yeah.
Say me, Connor, Corbin raced her since we were like,
that's the crazy one still.
Like a 9 probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's still a wild one.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Brogate Europe, when he starts the Great Gate. No one knows this more than Al Willoughby. Talk about a good starter on Brogate Europe's.
You know what? She's incredible. She has great starts. She hauls ass. She does it on Brogate Europe's. It's like, I don't know, if you guys just want to be slow, I mean, go get that guy from Davenport, Iowa to build you a gate that probably doesn't work very good. But I mean, if you want to go fast, just like Elise, maybe you get a Brogate.
That poor town. That poor town in Iowa hasn't done anything wrong to anybody.
We just roast them every time.
We got to go there.
Davenport, I would love to go come visit.
I hope my travels lead me to Davenport, Iowa one of these years.
You've been on the road a ton these days. I'm actually kind of surprised you haven't been there yet.
It's going to come. I'm going to end up doing a clinic in Davenport, Iowa one of these times.
I think so too, especially with us talking about as much as we have. Like if you're a track in Davenport, Iowa, we've had people message from there, like get Tory out there. He's on the tour or he will be on the tour again. Like get him out.
Speaking of which, we're back after a week off. I was in Oklahoma last week, which is why we didn't do it. I also lost my voice, which was the primary reason, but we'll get into that in a sec. My 2023 clinic tour is officially wrapped up. I hit 9 tracks in the U.S. the past few months and 7 tracks in Canada. So I want to say thank you to all the track operators for having me out to coach their track, as well as the parents and riders for coming out. Had an absolute blast and look forward to doing it again in 2024. Went really well, and I really enjoyed my recent Oklahoma trip. It was the first time I've been in Oklahoma not at Thanksgiving or in January, so that was a whole new experience. But thanks to UConn BMX and Sand Springs BMX for having me. I started off in Oklahoma City and then went to Tulsa. Both clinics went awesome. Great turnouts. Really enjoyed it. Like I said, looking forward to coming back next year. I don't think I'll be coming back. Well, I shouldn't say I don't think I'll be coming back in the summer. I'd like to come back maybe a little earlier in the year or a little later.
I can imagine why.
The heat in Oklahoma in the summer, boy, was I not expecting it. Like I was expecting it in the sense that like I was checking weather. I first checked the weather like the weekend before and I was like, holy fuck, it's going to be hot next weekend. But then I was like, you know, the weather reports, at, you know, beyond 24, 48 hours, they're pretty much just guessing, which is an absolute crime. And I don't know how meteorologists aren't in jail for doing this, but it is. So, you know, you kind of take it with a grain of salt. But then as I kept checking, it was like straight up 108 degrees the first day I was going to be coaching in Oklahoma.
Unbelievable, dude.
Yeah. So holy fuck, was it hot? I think it was the Sunday. I was driving. So the first day we did the I usually do 9 to 12, 1 to 4 standard routine.
Yeah.
First day we moved the afternoon to the evening from 6 to 9 because it was like 108 degrees.
Right.
At 6 o'clock, it was still 108. And then by 9, it cooled down to like 90, 95. And it felt very refreshing. Imagine.
Dude, that's insane for that to be like, oh, it's pretty cool now. Like 90, 95. Wow. That's nice.
So for obviously everyone in Celsius and in Canada, 108 is like, I mean, it's like, I don't know, 42 degrees and it cools down to like 32 and it feels very, cool. Very refreshing.
That's insane, dude.
It's wild, isn't it?
Yeah. Jesus, Louise. Are they used to it there? Like the people, the riders were like, obviously they're like, oh yeah, I'm hot too. I get that. But they're like pretty standard issue. They don't even like bat an eye at that.
I don't think you can't not bat an eye when it's 100 okay. degrees.
Once it's in triple digits in Fahrenheit, like something's up.
I guess you might to a certain point, but you can't just go outside and not be affected by that with heat like that, especially with humidity. I'm pretty sure the heat index had to be like 115 to 120.
Were you just drenched the entire day?
Soaked. Yeah. Completely soaked.
Unreal. Yeah. Were you?
It's humid too. So you just stand there and sweat. It is what it is.
So what times did you do your clinics from? You did morning and evening?
Okay. So the first day, UConn in Oklahoma City, we did 9 to 12 and 6 to 9. Then the second day we couldn't do the evening. So we did 9 to 12 and 1 to 4. Let me tell you, the last 30 minutes from 3:30 to 4, it was like I was standing on lava.
Dude, that would be unbelievable.
Dude, the riders did a good job. I gotta say they were troopers. Like obviously people are going to complain that it's hot, is what it is. We all do. But generally, like they still rode well and were very, very much into the clinic and invested in.
Good on them.
It wasn't a problem. Yeah, they were troopers.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Did the track provide freezies by chance?
Yes, there was freezies and Gatorades, and you just couldn't have enough of them.
Huge
you just really
play.
Couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you obviously need, like for safety reasons, you need extra brakes.
Yeah, 100%. So you make sure like, okay, like if you're feeling hot or you just need a break, just let me know. We'll take one.
Yeah.
But generally, like we pretty much did the normal routine that I would normally do. They were really good. The riders were awesome in the heat.
That's good. Good for them.
Yeah.
Good on them.
But the more I live in the US, the more I realize it's just a very hot country.
But you got pockets that are just extremely cooking.
Dude, the whole fucking country is super hot in the summer. So, you know, I used to think Southern California was hot. It's not. It's really not that hot. Like you come back to San Diego and it's 90 degrees or 95. It doesn't feel that hot.
Right.
Especially because it's dry. It just feels, it feels hot, but it's nothing crazy.
You also get nice, I feel like cooler breezes. The more inland, you're not getting those cool ocean breezes in Oklahoma.
No, it feels like someone's holding a blow dryer in your face.
Just constantly on high and high heat.
But yeah, go ahead.
Do you hear that chainsaw outside?
No.
Okay, good. Continue.
But I saw the photos of me coaching at Sand Springs, and I'm just wearing a soaking wet t-shirt.
Dude, I looked at one of the photos. It looked like it was like evening time. It's getting dark. And I'm like, you know, that shirt doesn't look like that's its natural color. It was just drenched.
The thing is, no one cares, though, because everyone's just sweating.
Yes. Yeah, so what are you supposed to do? You're not going to change shirts constantly throughout the day, put 5 different shirts on.
No.
They're all going to be soaked through every time you put it on. Like, what's the point?
I feel like there's a stigma sometimes or someplace people laugh at people for sweating, you know, but you can't because everyone's just soaked.
What are you supposed to? Yeah, no, you can't do anything about it.
No, is what it is. Yeah.
Did you have an umbrella or anything?
No, I just ran it.
Just
ran it.
Hell yeah. Gosh.
Yeah. So to be honest, I wasn't expecting that, but that was, you know, it's funny. Like we grew up in a place in Canada, obviously, where you need heat. Like you need heat in the winter because it's cold. It's a necessity. Most of Canada, you'll die in the winter if you don't have heat. I think there, if you don't have AC, or like most places in the South, you'll just die if you don't have AC.
Dude, how would you ever cool down your house, eh?
I don't think you can. I don't think you could live without AC, no.
Dude, that'd be brutal.
Mm.
Wild. I'm sure they get somewhat used to it, like I said, but to live in that constantly, that's... Ooh. They have some cold winters too, man. They're the low to highs from seasonal periods must be very extreme.
Because like, yeah, we've been, I mean, sometimes the Grands is freezing, especially in the mornings.
Yeah. Like I'm talking like it's sometimes around like 0 degrees Celsius, right? So like probably around in the like 30s.
Yeah. Yeah. Around 30 Fahrenheit, whatever. Jeez, yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. But So I got to say, yeah, it was nice to get back to San Diego.
Nice. I'm glad. I saw you and Sav had a nice little coffee, you know, acai bowl date. That just looked unbelievable.
Just a very California date, wasn't it? Yeah. Coffee and acai bowl. Gosh, go to the beach and walked by the beach. It's very California. But yeah, that was great, especially after the week gone. I will say I didn't have a whole lot of drama at the airport this time.
Thank God.
I just realized both ways. I was flying through Houston, which is a fucking nightmare to transfer through. The airport's enormous. It's five terminals. Both times it was 40 minutes. I was like, oh my God.
That's tight.
I checked on my, while I'm flying there, like what time my next flight boards in 40 minutes. The way back was tight. I tweeted this, but I was running through the airport like usual. Jumped through the doors while they were closing onto the train, and three guys just burst out laughing and called me Spider-Man. That's quite a scene.
They got a good laugh out of that, I'm sure. Watching somebody like kind of struggle, panic, rush to a flight is just, it's just comedy when you're just casually walking around knowing you have hours on end. You're like, oh, this motherfucker is just ripping.
It's funny watching someone, and it's just so stressful when it's you.
Dude, yeah. You're like it feels like your life's on the line that day. You're like, if I miss this flight, it's done. I'm done.
If I miss this flight, my whole day is fucked up.
You're screwed. Really though, I mean, you'd end up being fine, but it's just like in the moment, it's just the biggest deal ever.
I feel like I had years of mundane flying where trips went as planned. There was no problem. And I feel like I just had a bunch of wacky shit, but.
Are you just buying cheap flights now? Flight patterns? What are we doing?
Part of it's on me. I got to be more aware of my layover time.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I think I often just book tickets without a whole lot of care. Like okay. I'll just check the time. I fly this time, get in this time. I kind of don't look at the fine print.
Yeah.
I need to start looking at the actual flight pattern.
that's the thing, honestly. Yeah, you need to.
Yeah, I haven't been. I just kind of book whatever.
What are you using, like just the airlines website? Or are you going like Expedia?
I usually go Expedia and then I go to the airline website to book it.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's normally if you go to the airline website, they're not going to put you on a transfer that's just too tight. You know what I mean? Usually.
It's better, especially too, if something happens, you don't want to deal with Expedia. It's a nightmare.
Oh, I hate that. You learn your lesson.
It's so brutal.
You learn it quickly when you have a fuck up and you're on Expedia and you're like, okay, now I need to talk to Expedia and they need to go book the flight. It's like, that's just the worst. You need the airline to just go to the counter or talk to them directly. And then they just put you on the flight. It's pretty easy.
And there's always an Expedia number. And then there's like a United number.
Oh, it's just, yeah.
It's a whole thing.
Trying to find the numbers sometimes is absolutely awful. Like you're on Expedia, when like you go on the line and then it's like, I remember on Expedia, I was like last year, whatever it was, I was looking for the number and it wouldn't let me phone a number. It's like, I needed to like do the text or chat online. And I'm like, I don't want to chat online. Like I want to talk to somebody because I have a very difficult situation to explain here.
Yeah, you need to chat to an actual person, to the airline, and then it could just be a nightmare when it's booked through a third party.
Yeah, no bueno.
I had a not great experience at In-N-Out yesterday.
Yeah, we gotta talk about this.
Boy, did I start a shitstorm in the coffee chat or DMs from angry Californians with that tweet yesterday.
What the hell happened? It's dude, In-N-Out. It's I know it's not like
a I know 10 we 10 love In-N-Out,
but like for a fast food burger, it's like it's up there with one of the better ones.
I would agree. And I've always loved In-N-Out. So I actually don't think this year I've gone. This is going to be the first time that I went this year, pretty sure.
Okay.
So yesterday I was like, I want something good for lunch. I was going to go to my Thai spot, but then they're closed.
Okay.
So I was like, I'll have an In-N-Out. Well, I'll go to In-N-Out. So I go to In-N-Out, order my usual two double protein styles with the fries.
Yeah.
So I'm going through, I get my fries. I try one while I'm like paying. And they're like kind of cold, like room temperature, not great. Mm. And I was like, oh, these are cold. Can I get some warm ones, get some fresh ones? She's like, yeah, sure. She hands me another one. I'm like, okay, thank you. Do you want the other ones back? She's like, no worries. So I was like, okay, whatever. Okay. So as I'm driving away through the drive-thru, I taste them. They're the exact same. So at this point, I have a dilemma. Do I just carry on or do I go back in? And
I know exactly what I would do. And I have a feeling you're doing the complete opposite.
So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I want to enjoy my In-N-Out. I was like, I'm never someone to complain about food. Usually just have it and just whatever. But I was like, no, I want to enjoy my In-N-Out. So I was going to park anyway. Cause you know, I had the to-go box where you have the car or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I go back in and I was like, they're cold. Whatever. Or like I explained, I got this other fries and they're cold. Can I have a fresh batch or whatever? She's like, yeah, sure. I get them a third time. and they're pretty much the same. And I'm thinking at this point, well, you guys have proven you're incapable of giving me a warm French fry. So at this point, I just take them and walk up.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So they wasn't great. The fries were bad. Burgers were not great either. They're not super fresh, not super warm. And it was like a 5 out of 10 experience.
I feel like you went, not that you went at a bad time, but it's just like, you got a bad cycle of food here. Like they must've been, I think you need, like when you go to In-N-Out and it's a crazy line, you're like, oh, I don't want to go to In-N-Out. Like it's a crazy line. That's a good time to go. Cause that means you're getting something hot off the plate. Like something is coming fresh. Well,
it was a big line and I still didn't get something hot off the plate.
For real?
Yeah. It was a big line and I waited whatever, 10, 15 minutes in the drive through, like standard issue.
Yeah.
And I just got stuff that didn't taste fresh at all.
Unbelievable. They're really just, so that's tough.
It wasn't very good. If that was my first time trying In-N-Out, I would have been like, this place fucking sucks. I'm not going back.
Yeah. You know, you'd think the burgers, maybe if you're like, okay, the fries are shitty, at least the burger will taste good. It bounces back. If it didn't, that's tough. Did you maybe leave the burger sitting for too long while you went and became a Karen and walked back into the restaurant to get new fries?
I did. I didn't feel great about walking back in the restaurant. I'm going to be honest. I did not feel great about doing that, but I really wanted to enjoy it. So I did it.
I can't believe you did that. Was there a line at the counter and you were just standing there with a thing of fries in your hand in the line?
No, I went to like the area where they give the stuff.
Okay, that's good. Good, good. Okay.
But then I saw, it was a different lady, but then I saw the lady in the drive-thru window, like look and see me walk into the restaurant. And she gave me a very like not happy look.
She's like, this guy again, I cannot catch a break with him.
Yeah, she's like, this fucking guy and his fries. Yeah. But it's like, just give me some warm fries.
Like I saw you.
Give me some fucking warm fries. Yeah, I know.
Of all the fresh things, I mean, they must be pumping out so many fries that it can't be that difficult to hit you for the fresh ones.
I saw the guy making new ones and they gave me old ones twice.
Don't they have like, even if they were under like a heat lamp or something, they would be warm. They don't even have like a heat lamp they can keep them under.
I don't know. So I will go back to In-N-Out again, but I wasn't pleased with this experience.
Yeah, that's too bad. Are you going to go back to the same location and give him another chance, or are we just going to try a new one?
I've been in that location a ton. It's in Santee, right by where Sean lives. You know that one?
Yep.
Yeah. Or where Sean lived. Yeah. Yep. So that's the probably the, I'm like in between two, but that's the semi-closest one.
Okay. That's a good one. From what I remember, I mean, I never had a bad experience there.
I know. So that was disappointing.
What is the sauce that they have on In-N-Out burgers? Is it good? Like I'm starting to realize like the sauce can really make or break the burger.
I think it's good. Yeah.
It's good sauce. Okay. Yeah. I haven't In-N-Out for a while. So
now when you come down, we'll get it.
Yeah. I liked how some people in the DMs were like, oh, thank God he finally realized or stuff like that. It's like, no, people, you need to shut your butt. Okay. In-N-Out's fantastic.
Most people, especially Californians, like you take it back.
Like, get this guy out of here. He's not one of us anymore.
All right, quickly touch on USA VMX Louisville before we have Elise on the show. Pro Stop in Louisville off the big hill. It's going to be hot and humid.
Yep.
For sure. Mac Attack's back this weekend too, so that'll be fun to see him back in racing. Hasn't raced since the Grands, obviously.
No, and where was he? I think he raced like a state race, I think, a little while ago, but it's been a while since he was lined up again, and obviously since he was actually on the tour. So hoping he's had enough time to get himself back into race shape, because I'd love to see him just back to where he was before.
You know, it's crazy. He's almost a forgotten about man now through this year because he hasn't raced at all. And like you look back to a year ago and he was leading the series.
Dude, he was. And he was winning. At the beginning of the year, it felt like he was winning a race a weekend almost.
Yeah.
So it felt like so.
I wonder, yeah, his first race back is Supercross, which is not easy. It'd probably be a little bit easier if your first, I guess he's had a race back technically, but I think it'd be a little bit easier if first national back was a normal hill, but
yeah,
is what it is, I guess. Yeah.
I haven't seen anything like, you know, you just keep an eye on the social media to see when people are traveling to races and whatnot. Joris isn't typically the guy that posts a lot, but I feel like I haven't seen him posting about going to Louisville yet. He'll often make it like a race weekend post kind of thing for Chase. So I'm expecting one still. But would it be silly for him not to go with Cam and Isaac both not being there?
It's just a long way to travel from France back and forth all the time.
I know, and I agree it is. But with two guys out and them almost all virtually tied on points, Joris is leading by 20. With those two guys injured, it seems like it would be silly for him not to go. Mm. You agree?
maybe just needs a break if he's not going to go. I mean, we don't, for the record, when this comes out, you'll probably find out if he's there or not.
He's probably going to be
there.
But
right now we're unsure if he's there. So he might just need a break after the Worlds and want to be home with his family, or he might come. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm curious to see, like, he's a racer kind of guy. Like, in the time you think he'll take a, he should take a break, a USA BMX race will come up and then he'll be there. And I kind of feel like that's what's going to happen. Cause I think he knows, he understands the system. He understands the race for the title. So I can imagine he'll be there.
It's not his first rodeo.
No, that's for sure.
I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of international riders here.
No, I don't think so either. With like the World Cup in France at the end of the next month, end of September. I think it's, I mean, I feel like Louisville sometimes is, but this is going to be a classic. Just the people that are in the States are going to be here, and that's probably about it. Maybe some of the South Americans.
Yeah, I think it'll be somewhat of a smaller pro race compared to earlier ones this year, for sure.
Yeah, but a good race for a lot of guys to kind of get their points up. Because, I mean, with Cam out, Isaac out, Sylvan's not going to be there.
Who would have thought those two would be out at this point of the year from how electric it was in the spring?
We're having the season, like literally the season of all seasons with those two battling it out and coming off last year's kind of heat too.
When was the Tulsa race? Was that like May?
The one this year?
Yeah,
I think it was April or May. April, probably.
So what, like three months ago? And then now we're just, neither is racing. That's crazy. That's,
dude, it's, yeah. Yeah. It sucks for the series. I mean, those two battling it out, they're top three in points. I mean, then it's going to be quite a jump to the next person in points because yeah, those three are basically tied, like I said, in the 600s. And Joey Leto's actually next after them in fourth. So him, Cam Larson, Jeremy Smith, that'll be a good opportunity for them to get some points back. And even Jack Davis, yeah.
Jack. Yeah. That's a guy that could do some damage in Louisville.
Yeah. Yeah, for him not going to Worlds.
Could we be seeing a little late season charge from old Jack Davis?
I think so. I think we could. I mean, he's coming off a win at Reno. Haven't had races for a while. He didn't get to go to Worlds. Australia clearly didn't, you know, do their picks right if they weren't sending him. They should have sent more people by the looks of it. So, yeah, I think you got to watch out for him.
What if he grabs a win in Louisville, grabs one in L.A., grabs one in Rock Hill?
That'd be nuts.
That'd be sick.
That would be pretty sick. That would be fun for the series. It kind of needs that. I think Cam and him need to get a win if Joris doesn't go. If Joris goes and grabs wins, it's going to be like a Joris's kind of make it or break it kind of deal. Like his to win, his to lose.
Is Sunday UCI day?
I'm not sure. Probably, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I feel like Jay Smooth and Cam will do well here. Larson?
Yeah. You see Cam said something about like two of his flights got delayed or canceled or something. So he's just driving now. Just a last minute decision to drive.
He's just driving?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Take matters into my own hands. Screw this. I'm driving.
I love it. It's so funny. It's like, what's your limit of when you just decide to say, fuck it, I'm driving? His was clearly two flights. He's like, two canceled flights. All right, fuck it, I'm driving.
I agree. Two flights, you're like, oh, fuck this. I'm just going
to
drive.
What am I going to do, bank on a third flight here? And like, no, we just need to drive.
I wonder how far it is from Tampa.
Good question, yeah. I mean, I would hope it's under 10 hours. That's all I'm going to say. I'm hoping it's under 10.
Mm, yeah, I think it'd be about that, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, no clue.
Eight? I don't know, yeah.
On the women's side, though. What?
So what's old Souza up to these days?
Dude, great question. Let me check his Insta right real quick.
What about Alfredo? Is he going to Louisville?
I would hope he is.
I would hope he is too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was there last time around, wasn't he? He was. Pretty sure he was.
But he was fast at the Worlds again. Obviously didn't make the main, but I think he made semifinal.
Yeah. Yes. Souza's just, his last post was a while ago. He says he's been dealing with
June 4th.
Yeah.
Dealing with my physical. Yeah.
Hopefully he gets back too. I mean, he was a staple for a while too. And it's just like, I don't know, he kind of hasn't been in the mix as much. So that's always not, that's not as fun. When you start losing guys that make a series entertaining, like, dude, it's, for the fans, it sucks.
Yeah, I hope Souza comes back fast and back to his normal level because, man, he's good when he's on.
Yeah. Speaking of that LA race, we got a message that, you know, if we went, they would set up a booth for us to do a live show. I'm bummed. We're not going. I won't be going.
Yeah, I think I'll be there. But yeah, there's only half of Chatter will be there. So obviously we're not going to be doing a live show. But yeah, we had the race that reached out to us? I think so,
yeah.
Yeah, the race reached out to us. We could have a booth where we do a live show. That would be sick.
Yeah, I think so too. That would have been awesome.
Yeah. I got Riley in the chat. I said, hey, Tori, I'm Riley from your clinic in Oklahoma. What's up, dude? Thanks for joining the live show.
Oh yeah. Love that.
Are we going to do one at the Grands?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Grands, we're doing. So we'll start that now. We'll probably do it at the same time. I mean, we'll talk about this in the months leading up. This is a little early. It's still August, but we're going to be doing a live show at the Grands again this year.
It's an annual thing these days.
It is an annual thing now. It's 2 years in. We're going to make it a third.
Yep.
No problem.
Absolutely. I was going to talk about the women's side. So talking about the men's having some injuries and feeling like, you know, a bunch of the top, let's say the top five guys, top 10 guys maybe aren't going to be there. In the women's side, basically because it's completely, I would say North American dominated, it's going to be great. I mean, Elise, Peyton, Delaney, Felicia, Mackenzie, Alexis, Lauren, Rachel, that's the top eight right there in points. And I'm sure they're all going to be there. So that's awesome.
We're still waiting for Felicia to kind of step up, huh?
Kind of. Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, yeah, dude, we've been saying it for a while, but she's also been saying it for a while. And I think she's probably in the same mood. I mean, she's trying.
I think Elise just goes and dominates in Louisville.
I hate to say it, but yeah, I mean, we'll talk to Elise when she comes in. We got to keep an eye on it now. She'll be in the chat very soon. But I think she will.
Don't do the thing you did before about forgetting or not realizing the person was in the chat.
Okay. I'm just making sure she's not in. But it's.
I think that was Jack.
That was, yeah. Sorry, Jack.
Lexi, I think Lexi's got a good shot at a podium. She got some podiums in Reno. She's been riding really well.
She's been riding great. She's trending. Yeah.
She's trending up. Like if you compare her my first race here to Houston to how she's done the last few months, she's improved immensely.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge.
Especially on the big hill.
So that's really cool to see. Yeah, really cool. That group of girls, I mean, they got such a good battle going on.
I'm going to be honest, I can't really figure Delaney out.
You were holding stock.
Bit hot and cold.
Yeah, you were holding stock early.
Yeah, I'm still holding stock. I'm not selling by any means, but
yeah.
I feel like when she's on, and then some races she seemingly won't ride at the same level.
You think this is the one, though? Is she on here?
Yeah, I think so. But
she's good with the Phoenix heat.
I kind of always think she will be. Yeah. Well, it's a very different.
I know. That's what I was going to say. She's good with the Phoenix heat, but this is that Louisville heat.
You know, I was talking to some people because obviously the world's next year in Rock Hill. It's earlier in the year, in May, so it won't be as hot as July. But besides like the home turf advantage for the Americans, I think the heat can be a big advantage because a lot of Europeans aren't used to stifling hot southern humidity. That can be a big advantage for a lot of Americans because most riders in the U.S. are really used to riding through that.
Yeah, no, it's just true. I do agree with that too, for sure.
It makes a difference, like the weather you're used to. Yeah. It really does,
especially over a few days of practice and racing. Like your body gets drained if you're not used to that. You're gonna get hit in the face basically.
Like I used to get excited when it started raining, not because I liked it, but because we were very used to it.
It just felt like it was another day. It wasn't a big deal. I was just like, okay, that's normal. We have our systems for how to deal with it, but other people don't. Like, yeah, it's the same thing for the heat.
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking of it being May, I'm curious to see if it'll be that. I can't imagine it's going to be super hot, which is good for all around public, but not as good for the U.S. people probably.
Houston 2028. So that'll be in May also. Cause I was going to say, if they have Houston in July, that's going to be a problem.
Oh yeah. It will be in. Yeah.
I mean, even end of May, it'll probably be hot as fuck there too. But
just be drenched.
Oh yeah. Jeez. I mean, even end of May, it'll probably be like 100 degrees and humid.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that'll be a little wild.
Sweat box. Yeah.
Is Molly gonna be there at Louisville? Hopefully so.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, because she's obviously gonna give a good run for the spot, top spot there.
Oh, Canada Cup this past week, and also in Calgary.
Yep.
Calgary is a staple in Canadian BMX racing for August.
It's insane, dude. Every year in August, it's always a race there. It's either national champs or it's a Canada Cup every single year.
Always like at the very end of August. It's a staple.
It's crazy. I was going to go just to hang out and watch and didn't end up doing it. But I was like, I feel weird not going. It's like once a year we go to Alberta, we go to Calgary once a year at the end of summer.
And just the longest rhythm section on the planet also. I love that thing.
Crazy. I do, but I remember like it's obviously been the same for so many years. It was better when it was deeper. It was so mellow like the last handful of years, I feel like, that it was just like you felt like you were a moto guy going through whoops, just lean back and just kick the legs up, just manual everything.
What are our views on track changes? Like, how often do you think they should change?
Good question. Maybe every few years. Is that too long, too short? I don't know, but every few years, maybe?
At least, ideally. But, I mean, some of our home tracks have been the same for, like, 10. It's just too long.
That's insane, right? 10 years, like, with especially with weathering. Not only is, like, not being able to have fun on a new track, but weathering the track just, it gets smaller and smaller in the sense, like, the deepness mm-hmm. of the jumps, the rhythm sections, everything. It just gets mellowed out.
And obviously, it takes a lot of work for track operators, and it's expensive to... and time consuming to move dirt and change the track, but it's very much needed for rider development.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, what is the cost / you know, reward benefit for the riders? Like, what is it beneficial? Like, I think it is. I think you almost, more people will want to come ride your track. I would hope too, if you change it often.
I think it's hugely beneficial. Like, I also think it's good for riders to change tracks and ride multiple tracks throughout the week or months.
Yeah.
And ideally not the same exact track all the time, but not everyone has that option, obviously, but certainly every like 2 years, if you could change a track, I think that's optimal.
You think, because like in Europe, they race for their club. And when they go to these year rounds or French cups, they race for their club, and they're, it's like, they want their club to do well. They want their riders of their club to be better, that they have more of an incentive to be like, okay, we're going to change the track for rider development to make you guys better to do well. Whereas our tracks, we have, there's no like attachment to the club when you go to a national mm-hmm. event, that the, mm-hmm. the club's like, well, we don't really have the money, and so we're just going to leave it. You guys, it's fine. Like, people still enjoy it, so we're not going to waste our time trying to make it better, to make it harder for the riders, for them to look better as a club when they go to the races.
I think the tracks have quite a bit more money too.
In Europe and in France?
I think so, yeah. Like the way they run it, I think there's a, they have way more money than a lot of tracks in North America do.
Is that more money from like the club members themselves, or from the, you know, the government, you think, or what?
Well, I think about it, in France, like the track pays for, I don't know, the pros to like sponsors them to go to the races, right. Like pays for all their shit and pays them whatever. I don't know what they pay them, but they pay them like a certain amount. It doesn't really happen here. So clearly the tracks have more money than they do here. Also, they're often better kept and have like a clubhouse and maybe, I don't know, a 5 meter hill. Like, all that's not cheap.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Good point. Yeah. I wonder where they get the money from then for that. Cause that is a lot more. Like, I know we're nonprofit tracks mostly throughout, but I mean, I don't think mm-hmm. those tracks are for profit. You know what I mean?
They might be.
Maybe. I see Elise, she says she's good to go. She should be in the chat soon, hopefully. Oh, mm-hmm. there she is. Ready? I hope she wasn't waiting.
Good to go.
I really...
No, I don't think so.
I opened it up and all of a sudden she was just there. So for all you viewers, all you fans, just give it a moment. We have the 2023 World Championship bronze medalist coming on.
Did she hear us? I don't know, her mic's off.
That's good.
Oh,
that's
there she is.
Hi.
Hey, what's up, Al?
Not much. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah. So look at this.
Oh, shoot. You got a dialed setup.
Well, it was sitting here and I was like, maybe that would work and make it better, because, you know, maybe up the ratchet level of this, you know, podcast here. yeah. So anyway, so that's what I was struggling with. Sorry. I was a few minutes trying to figure that
out. You guys
out.
In Florida right now?
No, I made it home. So I didn't know if I'd be home in time for the video. So made it back.
Oh, you just came back today?
Yep.
How was it?
It was awesome. Daytona's always fun. NASCAR's awesome. So, and Toyota did an amazing gig. They debuted a mobility pit box, first one ever. And so there's like a ramp and lift and all air conditioning, all this stuff on this box so that people in wheelchairs and everybody can experience it on pit road, which was pretty awesome. And all the wrecks happened like right in front of us. So that worked out great. they did an awesome thing. And like Sam had a conversation with some of the head honchos there a few years ago. So it took a few years for this to kind of come together. So yeah, it was exciting to debut it.
That's gotta be so cool. I saw like a few of the photos you guys are posting of the stories, and you guys are literally right like trackside, hey?
Yeah. No, it's awesome. Like the accessibility, like just for like anybody, when you go to a NASCAR race, it's awesome. So I highly recommend it. you'll become a fan if you go and experience it. And now, yeah, even if you're in a wheelchair, you can get up above the wall and see over pit road when the cars are coming in. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's the viewer experience like watching it live compared to watching on TV?
It's good. Obviously, it depends like what track you're at, like how big it is. But, like in Daytona, it's like whether you're up on like the suite level, kind of, you can see the whole track, and like on a super speedway, they're going really fast, and you can see how the draft is working like as the cars are going. So I think live is better than on TV because you can't really tell how that's happening on front of TV. But yeah, and then when you're on pit road, then you're like literally like a tire could just about fly and hit you. So it's like when they're changing, it's awesome. I highly recommend it. The viewer experience is awesome. And obviously their TD package is amazing, which is why they're on every day all year long.
Yeah. That's so cool. Who's your guys' like person to watch?
Well, we both love, like, all, obviously a fan of all the Toyota drivers. See, look at my nails. I had all the driver's colors.
Nice.
That's Nicole Gain actually does them at home, so she did good. They're our NASCAR buddies. So, but yeah, we like all the Toyota drivers, obviously. But this weekend, it was between Bubba Wallace and Ty Gibbs were on the cut line to make the playoffs. So this was like the cutoff race. And so it was tough because Ty used to race. Justin Posey actually used to help Ty Gibbs use a kid. Yeah, because he's obviously from North Carolina and racing everything. So it's his first year in the Cup Series. So would have been cool to see him. But it's also Bubba drives for 2311 and Booty Barker, who is our really good friend, is his crew chief. So we were really heavily cheering that he would make it in. So he did. So that was good.
That's sick. Cool.
Yeah, glad you guys got to enjoy it. Cool experience. So obviously getting into you a bit, Al, congratulations on your bronze medal at the World Champs. How was the overall weekend experience for you?
It was good. It was not that hot, which was great for middle of summer. the whole thing was good. Came in, got in like just the week of the race, like Tuesday, and had a day off. And then we were on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday with stuff. So kept busy. And obviously like results wise, landing on a podium is awesome. It left a little to be desired for me. I had a little bit on the table there, I thought, but I mean, all in all, it was really good. So, and fun with the crew. Like it was interesting. I mean, it'd be like, per se, the super worlds or whatever, with all the different cycling disciplines, and just how many more people were like on deck, like staff, riders, things going on. So that was kind of a cool, different experience, like a little mini games kind of thing going on. So that was cool.
I gotta ask like being at the level you are, like, is it like a win or bust kind of feelings at some of these events like that, like deep down?
It was a little bittersweet on this one. When Tori asked me about like the medals and stuff, like,
what I was going to read off. Yeah.
When I look back at, when I was like repeating it back, because I got asked that question by a PR person and I had to actually think about it. So I was like, Tori, I actually have this typed up. Here you go. Like, a PR person had asked me about it. And it's like, it's awesome to be like, oh yeah, I got a 50% medal rate and like, was this close or leading this many times, but it's also like, oh, is that close that many times? it's obviously awesome. And it was always going to be like really tough to, you know, hang with Beth or catch Beth if she got out on that track, you know, home worlds, and the amount of time that they spent over there, it was obviously there, unless I was living there, there was no way you're going to, you know, compete with that. So you just had to show up fresh and ready and give it your best crack. And I did that. And I thought that I performed really well in the final. I mean, I would have been a lot more mad if Laura passed me from like third to fourth rather than second to third. Yeah. but you know, it was kind of one of those things, like I kind of always pictured it was going to be tight and Beth was going to be out and he was going to have to take a pretty good run to especially be able to chase her down if she got up front. So when the line she was taking on the third straight, I hadn't done it the whole weekend until, because she just started doing it in the semis, like jump and how she's doing third straight. And it was tough with these short little legs doing some of those manuals and stuff. So I was like, okay, you know what? I think that's the go for me. And so I just went for it in the final and kind of botched it a little bit at that speed. So then, yeah, kind of like messed up my third straight a little bit. But it was kind of one of those things that you said, like, oh, I got to go for the win or bust a little bit. Like, yeah. Hey, here we are. So not going to not go for it and try to give it my best crack. So it was good. I was happy with it. Happy to like stay on the podium, obviously. Mm-hmm. And all those girls were, it was pretty stacked field. The racing was great. Like the track race well for the most part, I thought, and yeah, like weather cooperated, which was a surprise.
Yeah.
So how about these stats? 12 years racing elite women, and you made all 12 finals and meld in half of them. So you meld 2010, 2014, 16, 17, 19, 23, plus 2 time trial medals. But yeah, so 12 finals and 6 medals. So your first medal, 2010, you would have been what, 19?
19. Yeah, it was my first year in elite. Yeah.
And so now you're 32, right?
Correct.
So 13 years apart. What's the so obviously completely different, like kind of athlete and completely different athlete and different like time in your career. So how does this one compare to, I guess, like the first one or so?
You know, honestly, it kind of keeps getting sweeter and sweeter a little bit, because that challenge, it just keeps like rising, like, okay, how can mm-hmm. we hang? Can we keep hanging? And it's kind of keep pushing, like in all actuality, to definitely be on the downward slope, probably physically in this kind mm-hmm. of thing. But I haven't seen that yet. So that's pretty cool. And just keep kind of pushing the limits on that. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I honestly can't even hardly remember the 2010 one. It was that long ago, but I do remember.
South Africa.
I mean, sharing the podium. I mean, back then she was Shanae's who won that year, and Sarah mm-hmm. Walker. I mean, it's just a totally different era, like of people that is racing. So it's, I think, really cool to kind of, I don't know. There has definitely been a shift. There's definitely younger people coming in, but to kind of still be there and be able to have been at that level, like, no matter who was in there and the different eras and talents coming through. I mean, that's pretty special. I take a lot of, I give a lot of credit to anyone that can do that and have longevity in this sport. It's a tough one to kind of be consistent at. So I value that. If somebody can be consistent on top, I mean, I think that's a pretty cool thing.
I think it's really cool too, is different eras, like going against Shanae's and Sarah Walker back then. And now obviously Beth and a lot of the younger women in the final would have been watching you, like Zoe, they would have been watching you, especially when they were kids, and now they're battling with you. Like, that's pretty cool, I'm sure, to share podiums with them now also.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny. Like, I mean, I was in the car with all the young American chicks and the team, and I'm in the front. So like, all right, you're on DJ on the iPod. I'm like, okay, all right. And then they're like, I'm like, what do you guys like? And they're like, we love throwbacks. We love a good throwback. And I'm like, what's a throwback for you? And they're like, 2010 stuff, you know? And I'm like, I'm talking like, you know, the 90s. I don't even know this stuff.
No. 2010, yeah. I like real old school stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That made me laugh. So
that's funny.
No, it was cool. And it was cool. Even with Ava there in the junior class, I mean, I've had conversations with her over the years, and it's cool to kind of see that young kind of coming through. And, you know, mm-hmm. she's just starting. I just remember being in that position that a long time ago, but I like seeing how hungry she is, and just like on that upward trajectory, it gives you a little bit of like in your step, I guess. So keep going.
I've always been like fascinated that the fact that someone like yourself, someone like Joris, like Sam was able to do, you guys can hold that consistency of being as quick as you can for such like long periods of time, where a lot of people seem to have their peaks. Like they'll end up being fast for a race or two and then kind of drop down for a little bit. What do you think it is? Is it something about your training or something about how you guys have done stuff that you think has allowed you to stay at that such a high level so consistently?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, I guess.
Without giving secrets, obviously.
No, I mean, there's not really, I mean, I think in a way, winning's a skill. And like the more you do that and learn to do it and get comfortable with things, I don't know. I think that, I don't know, people can kind of like, you just like know how to go into a race and are comfortable in your own skin of what you like, playing to your strengths, knowing strengths and weaknesses, I guess, and of your competitors. And I think just lining up confident, like knowing yourself and knowing from those years of training and every, like when I get in the gate, like there's not anything that's going to happen in that lap that I haven't seen on the track before. Like it's, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. So it's like, okay, well, there's no like surprises or aliens coming. So, I mean, let's just have a crack and see how we end up. So, I mean, I think just like all those experiences added up, like they just, I mean, they continue, like experience wins in a lot of situations. And I think as far as like the consistency goes and with training and stuff, I don't know. We train hard. I'm sure George trains really hard. I mean, I know Sam trained really hard, and like being able to like stick to something like that. And I think there's a lot of like dedication involved in that too, that I think sometimes, you know, it takes special people and personalities to kind of have that and want to do that for that long. So I don't know. I don't know if there's really any secret recipe to it, but I do know that like, obviously like someone like Joris is very talented. Sam, I mean, Sam's stats would be, I mean, you can't say coulda, woulda, shoulda, but I mean, his career was, I mean, he was done by the age Beth and like Saya are at right now. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, and like to think of like the stats and what you're able to accumulate, like those percentages are pretty cool stats mm-hmm. to look at, in my opinion too, like even yeah. other than just like the sheer numbers of everything. 100%. I think just being able to like show up on the line and just like want to win and continue to want to win and like be able to train with that mentality, because I think that's the hard part, is like, hey, like when you have a win or something, like okay, now I want another one. Like keeping that motivation, like for some people, I think it's like, yeah, I'm the champ. Like, yeah, let's go celebrate. Like, you know, it's just, like you kind of, I think special mentalities would be like, hey, let's go to the next thing. I mean, look at Mariana, look at obviously Sinead's over there, Sam, Joris, Maris, like those people that like, they continue to win, like when they show up. And then when once that like, maybe that motivation isn't there, it's like, okay, time to be done. So.
Yeah, what keeps you motivated at this point in your career?
Like I said, it's kind of fun to see, okay, well, how can we go, can we keep getting better? Like, this is cool. Like, I mean, everyone keeps saying you should be going downhill, but just like trying, like still finding ways to like rise higher and get more out of myself at training every day, at racing. And like, it's kind of fun, a fun challenge to be like, okay, yeah, I'm a little more tired than you probably this day in the A game, but I'm still going to show up and give him the best crack and see, like, I don't know. It's kind of just a fun challenge now.
Yeah. Is it ever like a numbers thing for you either? Like, is there ever that part of it? It's like, I have this many, let's say, Cups championships, but I want another one. I want to see, like, I want to just prove it to you guys I can get this many.
I think it's like that. I don't really feel like I have anything to prove at this point. Like, I think it's just, I don't know. I'm still, I still got the itch. I don't know how else to put it. Like, I just, you know, like I still love lining up the gate, and the day I line up and I'm not like up for, like, if I don't believe that I could win in that circumstance or like in training, I'm just like kind of just going backwards. Then I don't want to get in the gate. I'm not interested. Like, I just love the thrill of trying to win. So
you still enjoy Supercross and regular BMX? Like, do you enjoy racing both styles?
Yeah, I do. I do a lot. I do think, like, I think it's so heavily weighted to Supercross now. It's crazy. Like, I think when you talk about, like, hey, you know, how to, you know, the longevity of some people's careers and stuff too, like, if you look at the kind of people that you're naming, like, they've raced everything and they're good at everything. Like, I think that's a big thing. Like, whether I'm trying to race you like up the street in a sprint or in the world championships final. Like, I just want to beat you. I don't care where I'm riding. So that's, I don't know. Like, I think it's not necessarily about like the style of track or anything, but like being able to be versatile and ride all those different things, I think it was a huge, like, bonus, I guess, to our era as well. Like, we've literally ridden, like, it was like none of that. And then it was like a trajectory like this of tracks and difficulty levels and getting crazy. And then now it's kind of like changed again. And now it's just like faster racing and more supercross. And I don't know, it's just like constantly changing and evolving. But I think all the people that kind of have ridden all of that and found success in all those different types of racing, you're just super versatile. And I think that helps.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way. People that are specific to their thing, it's like maybe they have more of those peaks because that's all they're worrying about. They try to go to the other weight races and it seems like they have those lows.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think especially, and I'm an ABA kid, essentially, you know, yeah. USA BMX stuff. And we race all the time from when you're really young. Mm. So I think we race a lot more than other countries in general. And we've always had that. So, I mean, I don't know. Europeans tend to like kind of come in and out and want to peak and have their off season training. Like, this is a big off season when you have from the Grands till like February in USA.
Yeah.
Like, there's races like January 10th and you finished in end of November. So like there's never been an off season.
Yeah.
So I think it's just like a different approach to it a bit. And I think as the Olympics have come in and stuff, obviously, like, it's hard. It's tough to juggle it because there's competing interests. Like, obviously, all of the Olympic stuff, there's been a lot of opportunity and like that's very large scale. And pinnacle of the sport as well. But then you still have like USA BMX and like that's like the bread and butter, like riding with sponsorships and doing things and being able to make a living doing this stuff. Like, you're racing all the time, you know, and like to fulfill like sponsor obligations and do all those kinds of things too. And like kind of be valuable to these companies. Like that's where, I mean, 90% of the kids race is on that side of things and who's coming up and who's watching. So, I mean, there's competing interests there and it is hard to juggle like having to be good at all of it all the time. And like, you just don't, you can't even hardly afford to be doing much of this.
Yeah.
You're one of the people that seems to handle the outside sponsorships obligations really well. Like your stuff with Toyota, you do is crazy. Like you're always traveling, still going to the races, still competing. How is it handling all of that as well as the race action itself?
Yeah. This year was like, yeah, I'm going to like since Tokyo was like, okay, and you probably need to start like toning everything back. Like, obviously you get older, recovery is more important. I can't be switching time zones every 2 minutes, it feels like. And then it's like, this year's been crazy. I'm like, this was not how it was supposed to be. I don't know why it works for me. I'm kind of just like a little bit of a do it all personality as well. And like, I'm a busybody in general. So I don't know, for some reason, it kind of works for me. And like that chaos works for me. But I mean, I don't recommend it to most people.
Would not recommend. Especially like, you guys are transitioning to a big year next year. Obviously, you got the worlds in the US and obviously an Olympic year as well. It's come up quick. It feels like the Olympics just happened.
Yeah, it feels like forever ago and yesterday at the same time. It's crazy. So like after Tokyo, like I was like, because like on paper with Tokyo, I like leading into all that, like I was flying. I was the best I'd ever been by far that year, like going into everything. And then obviously on paper, when 2021 was said and done, it was like one of my worst years ever. And so that like it hit pretty hard. I took probably a good, it was like 7 or 8 months off. Like I didn't train and do anything. And then I kind of just got like, I raced a little bit, but I just kind of got ready for the world. Like I did like a little 12-week stint for France and Nantes and things took off and it went good. And yeah, it's been kind of game on since that, I guess. I don't know. It's been really busy.
What was the feeling during that those months off? Was it a feeling of like, yeah, I'm just not ready to race again, I'm not feeling, or is like you kind of knew like you just needed time with how busy and things were, or we're going to be later too?
Well, a little bit of both, I would say. I was just down about it, a lot of it. Like, man, okay, that didn't go to plan. Like, and like, you got to figure out all the risk reward. Like, had to redo a bunch of contracts and sponsorship things and do all of that. And like, I don't know, just digging your teeth in again. Like that, like I said, that motivation needs to be there, and it wasn't really there. So I was like, yeah, you know what, I still always love to like line up and race and do that. So it's not like I didn't race at all during any of that. I did go to some races, but it's just like, that's where that consistency comes from. You have to put in consistent effort. Like, you always get in what you put out. Same thing with all these sponsors and things. Mm-hmm. Like, you get in what you put out. And so like, you know, it's all about like with the sponsorship side and like making a living doing this, like, you have to like cultivate those relationships and like, I do spread myself pretty thin in order to do everything. But I also get rewarded to do those things. So you just have to, just strap up, shut up and go and make it work. And it's worth it. Like, and so once I kind of like settled back in and was like, okay, yep, no, I've still got more to give, essentially, when I started mm-hmm. training again and things started going better, better, better. And, I was like, okay, all right, like I'm locked in, I'm going, I'm doing it. And I was like hungry again. It just took a while for me to kind of have that feeling, I guess. So I don't know, now we're here and we're really in the thick of it. And it feels like it was yesterday and we started the Olympic cycle again, like in Colombia already.
It's wild.
Like, it didn't really feel like downtime.
Speaking of which, you're racing Louisville this weekend?
Yeah, yeah. Go, go, go.
Stay confirmed.
Yeah, confirmed. Confirmed.
What was our debate?
No, we just wanted to make sure. Yeah. No, we were banking on it, but we just wanted to make sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, you don't know how many good years you got left. So you, like, well, things
no,
are
you gotta
good,
go for
you know?
It.
Never,
yeah.
Never leave the table when it's hot, you know?
Like, no, you know.
Never. I wanted to ask how the transition was onto to daylight. It seemed like the GW thing was kind of like, was it, I don't know if it was a planned end, but it seemed like it came like an end for a lot of the Colombian people, seemed to come to an end quick, but then you got into the daylight and things looked good.
Yeah. It was kind of like, I don't know, the perfect storm for me, because I've had some like GW, I'm so thankful for everything they did for me, like after Redline disbanded and everything with Sam. And like, that was like a really low point of like, oh my gosh, like, am I gonna step away back then? And they picked me up, had me part of their family and kind of gave me a home and for 6 years. And then it just, with COVID and like, I think the original plan was that they wanted to have distribution in the US and it just kind of never really evolved into that because there was licensing issues. There was obviously market issues through all of that. And then I just got to the point where I was like, okay, I kind of want to look home. Like, where's this going to go? And it was, I actually reached out to Daylight, like right after the Grands in last year. Whatever year it is, 2022. And I don't even know what year it is anymore. But yeah, so in 2022, at the end of 2022, I reached out to Daylight just because I thought, hey, they're made up the road. I know the family, like it's USA made. And there was just always like issues. Like I didn't like, and it's, I'm not blaming GW for any of it. Like there was customs issues. Like I didn't have my Olympic bike until literally like the day before I left for the Olympics.
Jesus.
And so there was just always things that kind of like happened that like, it was just like more stressful than it needed to be. And like going into like the latter half of everything, it was like, I just want to simplify and ride quality and just, you know, I don't know what the draw was, but that transition was natural. And then things changed on GW's end even after that, like not long after that. But when I spoke to them, they were pretty open to me looking elsewhere because they said, oh, okay, like, yeah, because we have to look at XYZ with new management in town or like in the company.
Yep.
So then my announcement, like everything was all like cool, very like mutual, like goodbye, happy, no hard feelings whatsoever. And then I saw that like literally pretty much everyone except it looks like Mariana and Diego like either got dropped or left or whatever happened. So I know they dropped like their road teams and everything that they had done in Colombia. So I know there was just like a ton of internal change, but it was kind of like I didn't know about that before we already had kind of decided we were parting ways. Mm. But I think maybe I avoided the phone call. not next year, but we'll, I don't know. I don't know what would have happened, but it was kind of the perfect storm. And Daylight welcomed me with open arms. And I know the family, and I've always like thought it looked like a quality brand. And it's been awesome. I have no complaints. They've really answered my every need, and it's an evolving process with, they're always updating and changing things on the bikes and everything. So it's fun to be a part of all that. And it's gone pretty well. So
seems like a good fit too, like American brand and everything seems like, you know, suits you really well.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. And they're an awesome group of people. And I knew Corbin was never going to ride crap. So I'm like, I think
he's not riding a shitty bike for sure.
No.
Yeah. it's been really good. And I have nothing but thumbs up over there.
James, do you have any more questions? We get to the travel draft and then the questions.
So I found my list of somewhat deep questions that I have. I'll ask one again. So this is my question for you, Elise. Speaking of all your results and whatnot, what about your career do you take most pride in accomplishing? And it doesn't have to be results. It can be anything you kind of, what comes to mind.
I feel like it's a culmination of all of, it's kind of double-edged here. I feel like I value it on other people. So now I value it myself that no matter anytime, anywhere, no matter the circumstance, because there's always things going on in the background that people don't know about, and for everybody. But like, I know on my end, I don't go out and blab about every little ache and pain or this or that that's going on in my life. Like you just, you know, you, things are going on, and but no matter the circumstances or any time, any place, like being a contender for a win, like over this long of a career, like I take a lot of pride in that. And there's been a lot of like moments within my career that I can say I'm really proud of, like essentially little comebacks and bounce backs, no matter what's been kind of thrown at you, what obstacle you face. So I think that overcoming has been a big, for me, something I take away that I've been proud of. And then like within that, like just being able to kind of also kind of create a path that wasn't there, and like have, I feel like a real sense of pride with the younger generation and like legacy in that sense of wanting to like help and inspire them to like go bigger and be better than any of it, like to not set limits on their dreams and just go for it. Because when I was coming through, like none of this was even there. It wasn't an option. Nobody was like living and doing it. So we've kind of been part of this inaugural like generation of women that have kind of paved that path for the next one. So I think that's pretty cool.
I love it. Great answer. We can do the draft now, T.
Go for it.
All right, Alf. So this is a fun little game we have. We're doing what's called the travel draft. So I have four different kind of topics. We're all going to pick an item that we would take for this topic during travel.
Oh, we all do it. Okay.
We're all doing this. We can't just leave Alf to drive.
Okay, wait. All right, repeat. Okay, give me the rules. So we do what now?
So I'm going to say like a topic. So like it's going to be with regards to traveling. So the first one will be carry-on luggage. And then we're going to go through and we each got to pick our whatever luggage we would take, but we can't pick the same one. So if I say backpack, you can't take that. You got to take like, I don't know, duffel bag or whatever.
Okay.
All right.
That's not a great starting one. I'm going to be honest. The carry on, we all take all right, a backpack.
Well, then you pick something else.
it's gotta be. Okay. Start with the second one. That one's
all right. So Tori, you'll start, then Elise, and then me. Okay. And then I'll go again. Elise will go, then Tori will go. So it's snake draft back and forth. All right, so first one for traveling is comfort item. What comfort item are you taking with you, T?
Comfort item. What do I take for a comfort item? It's not really a comfort item. I guess my eye mask.
That's comfort for you.
I guess it's a comfort item. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Eye mask.
Okay. All right, Al, your turn.
I have a $7 Walmart pillow memory foam that I bought like before I was even elite. So I don't know, 15 years ago. It's been on with me on every trip.
15 like, years ago.
Probably. I don't know. I had it before I turned elite.
Oh my goodness. That is a comfort item.
$7 at Walmart.
That's good.
So I'd say that's a comfort item.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's a good item too.
Yeah, 100%.
Put it behind my back, like literally every time we travel, I'm shoving it in my helmet bag or my backpack, whatever it is. And like, then Sam makes fun of me every time. And then every time we're flying and I've got my comfy pillow behind my back or here, wherever, he's like trying to take it. I'm like, no.
That's a good one. All
right, Palm Daddy, what's your comfort item?
I'm going with a nice hoodie. You know, I hate being on a flight if you need something. A hoodie you can use as a pillow. You can just block out people, have a little nap in it. Has to be a nice, good, baggy hoodie.
Yeah. A hoodie's pretty key. It's better than just a pullover sweater or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going with hoodie.
All right.
Let's skip to the
food.
Let's skip to
you need a $7 Walmart pillow.
Yeah, you do. I still travel with a neck pillow too. Those are clutch.
That's a good one.
See, the neck pillow doesn't cut it for me though. I've tried to switch. It's got to be this one. It's the perfect size. I'm telling you, $7 Walmart memory foam.
Next one is a snack item to have with you. I'll start it off. I'm going with the standard issue trail mix. Like you just at all times,
trail mix.
Can just timeless. It can do anything. It can do wonders. You get chocolate, you get sweet in there, salty. Yeah. It's fantastic. So I'm taking trail mix for my pick. Mm. Al, your turn.
Al's going to take like Milk Duds or something.
Oh,
this has changed over the years. Sorry. This used to be something like Hershey's or something.
The white chocolate Hershey's cookies and cream bag.
Cookies and cream, baby. And pickles, you know? Like, those are the winning ticket right there. James asked my secret. Cookies and cream and pickles.
That's the secret. Have you had...
That's a combo, yeah.
I've seen these things. They're pickles in a bag these days. You just buy them at a store. It's just a big pickle in a bag, and you just buy it. I think that's unbelievable. It's
gross. That is
I used to get them at concession stands all the time, the big whole one. Like, in gymnastics, it was like, if you score a 9, like... Each you event you score a 9 on, you get a pickle. That was my bribe.
That's awesome.
And if I tripled at a race, like when open class and cruiser, I'd get a jar of pickles.
That's some incentive right there.
That's so good. Yeah. I love that.
Anyway, so, but I wouldn't bring a jar of pickles with me on the plane. So.
I should hope.
So I'd probably bring beef jerky.
Good item.
That's a good one. Yeah, protein.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go peanut butter RX bars. Those are elite, and you can take them anywhere.
Sea salt chocolate ones.
You know, those ones I don't love that flavor. I think the peanut butter is the best.
Okay. Fine, I'll hop in. I'll say the coconut chocolate chip.
But agree to disagree. All
right. Oh, you get the ones you get the Costco ones, not your James, the big box ones.
Yeah. Hate the peanut butter.
Entertainment item.
Well, this will be the last one. Yeah, last one.
Who's starting?
You do too.
Who's starting? Okay. Well, Elise hasn't started yet.
No, you start. We snake it back and forth.
So okay.
You start.
I don't.
Entertainment.
No.
Yeah. Entertainment item. I'd say iPad's pretty clutch, because that way, like when you fly United, you just go onto the Wi-Fi and you can stream movies. So I'd say iPad.
Huge item off the board.
Yeah, it's a huge
that's
item.
That's my item. I got nothing now.
Well, right. I would just bring my phone. So.
All right. Well, if with just three of us, this draft kind of sucks. So I'll just take a computer. I'll just take a laptop when that's all. That's fine. That's easy.
All right. Let's get into some questions. All right. James, you have them on your phone too?
Any more brain busters?
No more brain busters. Do you want a brain buster?
No, I was curious.
No, I should have had them, but I don't have them. Sorry.
Okay, here's one. Okay, no worries. I got them. From Gene Jansen, how did the Toyota partnership come about?
Good question. It was actually really cool because Toyota has a global partnership with the Olympics, as Tori well knows. But they, Toyota North America, I was pretty honored to get to be on that. It's a good gig. But they actually found me off of, well, probably on like some list of Olympians from 2016 or whatever, when they were looking at the thing. But they saw my Southwest, like mine and Sam's Southwest magazine. We were on the cover of that. And they saw that and read the article and reached out to me. So
no way. That's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. And then like went through the whole vetting. It took, you know, it was like probably 6, 7, 8 months somewhere in there of like the vetting process to get in. And then I remember going to the, like the, our meeting, our Team USA day when they like launched their team, and everyone's got all their like agents and people with them and stuff. And I'd just kind of gone through, I'd filled out the questionnaires, done stuff, whatever. And like no agent or anything. And I got there and then we were all talking and they're all like, how are you here right now? Like, cause they all get like, they're all like getting, I guess like it was really hard process, like getting pitched and everything. They just like responses to their questions, and like honestly with them being like making the mobility company push, like obviously both me and Sam like living in that like firsthand experience, and it was a great fit. So
very cool.
From BMX commentator, thoughts on Billie Eilish performing in a mid-school Robinson race jersey at Leeds Festival?
Would you like to say that name again?
Billie Eilish. I said it wrong, didn't I?
Yeah.
Billie Eilish, yeah. I kind of knew I said it wrong, but I just blew through it thinking you wouldn't notice.
No, we noticed. Everyone noticed.
Yeah, everyone noticed. Yeah.
I didn't see that, but I did see,
posted or something.
One of the Kardashians wears a USA BMX like world's jersey, like amateur world.
Seriously?
Jersey.
Yeah, Khloe Kardashian.
And she's married to the drummer from Machine Gun Kelly. What's his name again?
It's over my
head. Travis Scott.
Travis Barker is his name.
Travis Scott.
Travis Scott's he's the black rapper dude, but Travis
Barker. Who's the one dating like Kendall or Kylie or one of those ones?
Yeah, a different one. Yeah.
Yeah. That is so random. She does that though. Hey, I think that's wild. That's good publicity.
But they've been at like Lake Paris and other tracks, I think.
No way.
Oh God.
Yeah. They obviously live in LA, but they've gone to some other tracks. I've seen she posted a post like last year that they're at the local track or something.
That's a lot of makeup to be around Lake Paris. Isn't it in that dust?
She's not getting the makeup scene. Put on like by the dust, just walk around there and you get your foundation layer tan.
Just flies the PJ into the fields next door to Lake Paris and hops up for gay practice. Wow, you got some people to ask some personal questions. Jeez.
Hey, I got a question. How's my ratings on the first show? Because this isn't the first time I've been on Chatter.
Do you really know what
know?
It's
You really
you know
to
what? It's funny you mentioned, yeah, Al, it's funny you mentioned that. I actually checked. I checked like randomly 2 days ago, and your show is number one. You got, let's see.
It's not
I think
even
it's
close.
Like 7,000.
Everybody hear that?
Yeah, it's not
I
even
am
close.
Number one.
It's not even close. That's so going back to the question you're most proud of, that's what you're most proud of.
Yeah.
For one.
Yeah. So
for one, I
retract my answer. And now that's what I'm
most proud. Listens on Coffee Chat are in beating me in 11-12 open when we were kids.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Can we recap that? Because nobody else got that. Yeah, I beat Tori in open at the Worlds in Reno.
ABA Worlds in Reno. You know what the worst part? I was world champion that time too.
No way.
You just got back from the UCI Worlds in Australia.
I did. Yeah, 11-12 open.
Crazy.
But you know who stuck it to both of us? Because I only went second. You got third. Bobo Lechner. He like blew a clip and still beat.
He unclipped like three times and still won. Yeah.
But yeah, that's my claim to fame. I beat Tori and number one on Top Chatter Podcast.
Yeah, Elise Willoughby and Sam Willoughby are top two.
Crazy.
What a shock. Yeah. What a shock. Made for each other.
See if we can blow the charts up.
Let's do it.
We're going to have to reroute the servers at Coffee Chatter HQ.
Yeah, maybe we don't want to do that. This show would struggle to run, I think.
We struggle with not many people, so we struggle with the simplest of tasks. So from Brody Deerdor 56, most memorable race.
Rock Hill 2017.
Nice.
That's what my guess was going to be. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. People often are like, even more like than the Olympics or anything. I like don't even remember the Olympics in Rio.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
It's like, you're so monotone on those days. I don't know. Weird.
I don't remember London at all. Hardly. I remember being there and racing, obviously, but I don't remember much from it, honestly. It was so long ago and we were so young.
Yeah, it's like when you're just like in the zone, you're in the zone. But like, the only thing I remember in Rio was like the crowd erupting because Mariana was in all my heats and it was like all Colombians there. And also like just that street behind, like just riding in between laps, like in this back street. That's all I remember from Rio. Like, I don't even remember the laps.
Really. Yeah, just in the zone. Yeah. Well, Al, we really appreciate you coming on. Good to catch up. But good luck in Louisville this weekend.
Thank you. I got to get out there. My dog's about to eat. We have a refrigerator repair man coming, so I'm going to go tend to that situation.
Mila's going to attack her.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Have a good rest of the show. And I won't see either of you in Louisville. I forgot. Sorry. But anyways.
We'll see you soon.
We'll go for a walk at the lake soon.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for that call. Yeah.
We'll go for a walk at the lake.
Give me more than like 5 minutes notice. That'd be good.
By the way, we're going to be there in 5 minutes. You guys come in or what?
That's how it usually goes with Tori. But that's all right. Yeah. We love it.
I don't think we had Elise on for a while before today.
I think it's been a minute. Is she still on? Mine's frozen.
I don't think so. She's frozen, but I don't think she's on still. Okay. But yeah, we haven't had her on for a hot minute.
It's been a while. I didn't even realize because when she said her last show, and I was like, wait a second, was the last show really that time? Like, she was one of our number three guests.
No, that wasn't the last time she was on. We've had her on since then, but right. That was like the main one we did, like the full-on interview and everything.
We didn't have a Worlds 2019 after at one point.
By the way, people, that was show 3. If you want to go back and listen, like fucking dig way back, show 3, but it was a good episode with Al. Dig into her kind of life and career more. That would have been back in 2018. So if you want to go back and listen, go for it. But no, we had her. I feel like we haven't had her on in it. I don't think we had her on last year even. Might have been 2021 or something like that, 2020. I remember we did have her on, her and Connor, before 2020 Grands when it was going to be the one-shot deal. Oh. That might have been the last time we had her. That might have been the last time we had her on, honestly.
Shit, yeah. Yeah, well, wow, we need to have her on more. She's always busy, too. You always, when you see people traveling on social media and know there's races, you almost feel bad asking because you're like, she's doing this Toyota thing. She's doing this thing. She's overdoing that thing. It's like, oh my gosh, when do you have time to do anything? You just got to ask, though. You know, it's part of the deal.
Her and Mariana are busy. They are on the go.
Seriously, too. Yeah, two people that just are always moving.
I mean, Sam and Elise only live like 15 minutes from me, probably, but we don't, like, we're all so busy. We don't see each other often.
It's too bad we couldn't get one word from Sam just to put him in the title, hey? Just Sam Willoughby and Elise Willoughby. Just kidding.
That's actually, we should have Sam on. We haven't had Sam on in a while either.
Yeah, you want to talk about somebody we haven't talked to in a while that's one of the guests that just has a lot to talk about, I feel like, it's Sam. Dude, we have to have Sam on again soon.
Yeah, that's okay. We do have to have him because we haven't had him on in years. His original one, I just look and show 12. Go back and listen to that one because that one was really good. He obviously talks about his career and is going through his accidents and everything. And I think that was, would have been 2018 also. That was a good one if you want to go back and listen to that one too. 12,
yeah, what a show.
Show 3 and show 12. God, that was 5 years ago.
This pod has come a long way, buddy. It's come a long way.
And we're just fucking climbing, baby. We ain't stopping anytime soon.
We're just getting our annuals ready, you know, our live show stuff. Yeah.
So I'm 31.
Yeah.
I'm 31 right now. Are we going to be doing this show when I'm 40?
Dude.
That's a great question. I feel like we are. I feel like we are.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see why not. At the end of the day.
I don't see why not either.
You've definitely gone into a coaching role in your career, mm-hmm. right? You're a coach now. It's what you do. I don't see that stopping anytime soon.
Nope.
I'm not, but I'm just as passionate about watching as I was about racing now. Like I am like very keen always, and I don't see any reason why that's going to stop. And there's no reason why we can't just talk about it on the side. So it's like, what would stop us?
I know. We both genuinely like doing the podcast.
Yeah.
So I don't see a reason why we wouldn't.
Do you know what's crazy? The most annoying thing about this entire podcast is just the scheduling. Once we get talking.
That is the most annoying.
I love it. But just knowing that every Sunday we have to send that text message that says.
It is. It's just like. Monday, you just get that feeling. Like, you wake up on. You just get that. You wake up Sunday. You're like, I'll get a day off today. Don't have anything to do. And then all of a sudden creeps in your mind. Oh, fuck. I need to schedule a show this week.
It's so simple, but dude, that message and we're like every time is just
one of us will remember. It's like it's never both of us. It's always just one of us reaches out to the other, like, yo, so for the show this week, we go to the usual time, 5 p.m. Monday, and it'll be a yes or a no or a Tuesday. And then we're like, yo, so we feeling a guest this week, or are we just gonna do a preview?
It's just how it works.
200, almost 213 straight weeks of our life, we've had the same text on a Sunday night.
It's insane. The funny thing is, like, we could totally talk about it Saturday, Friday. We probably know our schedules, but we just always procrastinate till Sunday. And most of the time, we procrastinate till Sunday night. It just is what it is.
It's pretty fucking unbelievable that we almost have guests every week. And we just leave it last minute every week.
We honestly, it's kind of true. Like, it's pretty bad on our part how late we leave it most of the time. Like, we're legit, ask the guests. We don't like, it's not like we plan a guest and then someone cancels and we're like, oh, last minute, let's ask. It's like, no. We ask our guest typically Sunday night. And if they're in Europe, they don't get that message till Monday morning.
Yeah. And then if not, we got to text someone else. You'd think we plan better, but we just don't. I don't know. We're both busy and it's just, we got stuff going on. And then it's just all of a sudden we're like, fuck, we got a show tomorrow.
Dude, Sunday's meant for chillaxing. It's meant for relaxing, playing golf, hanging out, maybe getting a workout in, having some fun.
You know what? We gotta change something. We got to start organizing on Saturday so that we can just relax Sunday.
Let's do that. Let's start being Saturday organizers.
We can't be doing it. It's just annoying. I don't want to do a Sunday. We both don't want to do it on Sunday.
And I know I hate getting your text on Sunday. I hate it. I know what it is. As soon as I see the message, here it comes.
I know. It'll be like Sunday at 2. I'll be watching golf and also I'm like, fuck, I got to text James on the show tomorrow.
Oh man,
I can count on maybe, I think it's only happened a couple times where we've scheduled a guest like a week in advance where we've been like, okay, we're doing this person now. We'll do you next week. Yeah. I feel like that's happened. We can probably count it on one hand.
Probably. Yeah. Honestly, it's kind of true, which is wild. You'd think we'd be better. Maybe we will be, probably not, but it is, it's kind of the charm too.
So we're going to shoot to do it on Saturdays. Not that this affects anyone listening, but just so you guys know, we're going to try and do it a day in advance.
In the background, just know we've planned this one day earlier.
Yeah, we have. ProGate Europe, winning starts at the Great Gate. Alan Willoughby, hell of a starter on ProGate Europe. Sorry, were you going to say something?
I was going to say, thinking 10 years down the road, obviously Al's still going to be winning on a ProGate Europe. It just is what it is. ProGate Europe, catchers mm-hmm. today, ProGate Europe. Do you ever think we'll have like a third host, or like we'll change or anything our show schedule is like? Because I kind of feel like we have a pretty good system going right now. People could say otherwise, but I think people like it from what I hear, and kind of works well what we're doing.
We're pretty standard issue. Like, it hasn't changed a whole lot in 5 years. I think originally, obviously, it was more like we have a guest on every week and we just interview them about their career. We've kind of transitioned to more maybe podcasts and then also have a guest on and interview them, but then sometimes we won't. It's a little bit different that way, but pretty much the same. Like, if you listen to the first, I don't know, 10 shows, it hasn't changed really at all.
No. I think we have more variety now.
I know initially I always never really cared about swearing on the show, but I know like the first few shows I was a little more nervous too, but
yeah, that's true. Now it just doesn't even matter.
No, I think back then I don't think I really cared either though. No.
We tried, our whole goal was to be authentic.
Exactly. You know, they say people that swear, like I would say I probably swear a lot. They say people swear who swear a lot are more trustworthy and honest. Did you know that?
That's must be why I swear so much.
Yeah, I think we both swear quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, all the time.
Probably, I just it's part of my language. It's just way easier.
So, like, fucking the other day,
use it in so many different ways. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, we'll be back next week. I don't know if we'll do a Louisville recap or we'll have someone on, but yeah, we'll be back next week.
We'll decide on Saturday.
I'd like to have Romain on the show and talk to him.
Me too. Maybe we can. Maybe we can do Saturday. Maybe we can do it during the day and get Rome on.
Yeah, we'll do that. All right. ProGate Europe, winning starts at the Great Gate. Elise will be. Thanks, folks.
Get yours today. Snap on green.
Well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to be fast in the truck.
I hate that guy.